And a Christmas edition of Trailblazers Courtside. Welcome to our Rose Garden studios. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice with you here tonight to not only talk about Portland's last-second victory last night and Damian Lillard's game-winning shot, but what's to come in the next few games for Portland, as they are now 11-12, one game under 500. Given what they have gone through schedule-wise, 12 road, 11 home, acceptable, I would think, given the new coach, new system, new players, youth of the team. But Coach Rice losing a 16-point lead last night only to see it come down to the wire, and Damian Lillard take another step forward as far as the legend of Lillard, as we always say, hitting a game-winning shot late. It was impressive.
Yeah, you know, I don't think this team's ever going to be able to protect a lead, a 15-point lead, even at home. I don't think they have that ability to step on anybody's throat and just take the game and win it by 30. I think we're going to see a lot of close basketball games. I think the West, the games are going to be so important. You know, they're already looking at every team in the Northwest Division, as we see the celebration that right there.
And Damian will be on the program, by the way, at 6:15.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You know, I think if you look at it, every team in the Northwest Division's in the playoffs right now. I mean, their record's good enough right now, except the Blazers. And if the Blazers win the next two and things work out, right now it's almost a tie game with the Wolves in Orlando. So, you know, we'll be talking about that with Damian to see, you know, if he's into that playoff thing right now.
And here you see the courtside tip-off presented by Standard TV and Appliance. Damian Lillard coming up at 6:15. Rick Bucher, formerly of ESPN, now Comcast Sportsnet in the Bay Area. He kind of did an informal poll of some coaches, some scouts, on their rookies of the year, their top seven, and we'll have that list for you. I don't think it's any surprise who's on top. And, you know, Rick down there in the Bay Area and Damian Lillard being from Oakland, it'll be interesting to see what the rest of the list looks like. We'll get that from Rick Bucher at 6:35, but Damian Lillard at 6:15, Trailblazers courtside, all that and more coming up right here on Comcast Sportsnet. And welcome in Trailblazers courtside on 1190 KEX Radio, Blazers Radio Network, Comcast Sportsnet, and streaming on trailblazers.com. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice with you here tonight. Coming up on the program at 6:15, Damian Lillard will join us live. And 6:35, Rick Bucher, formerly of ESPN, now of CSN Bay Area. And he will talk about, well, he came out today with a top seven list of rookie of the year candidates so far. And, of course, Damian Lillard on his list is number one. But the rest of the list interesting as well. And some of the notables left off the list is interesting as well. Trailblazers last night coming off the victory, the Damian Lillard game-winning shot. They take care of New Orleans. They had a 16-point lead fairly late in the third quarter, but we had said it on the broadcast when New Orleans started their comeback. A great three-point shooting team. Ryan Anderson is among the best. He has more three-point makes than anybody in the NBA so far. So it was dangerous, and it came down to the end. But maybe at the end of the day, you'd rather blow them out. But maybe for development reasons, it was better in the experience category that Portland did what they did.
You know, it's earlier when the Blazers were on that seven-game road trip and they ended up 2-5, you know, I looked over the rest of the West and I said, oh, this is going to be one for the ages as far as how close the race is going to be. I hope we're part of it. You know, if we're part of it, we can get excited every day, every hour.
Okay, so then 11-12 is what the Blazers' record is now. You see the Western Conference standings for those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet. you know, you consider that Portland played 12 of their first 19 on the road. They had a brutal seven-game road trip, got just two victories on the seven-game trip. Not a lot of teams have seven-game trips for obvious geographical reasons. Portland does, and they also have a six-game trip that comes up later. How do you feel? 11 and 12, all things considered, new coach, new point guard who's been brilliant, new players, new system, all of the learning curve and the on-the-job training that we knew would have to happen early on. What does 11 and 12 feel like to you?
You know, it still doesn't feel great because the Blazers haven't established themselves on the road. And until they do that, until they know how to, like last night, take last night's game and win it by 25 instead of winning it by 2 or 3 or whatever the referee's decision was at the end. Every team in the Northwest is in the playoffs right now with their record except the Blazers. And if the Blazers win their next two, they could join that group depending on what Orlando does tonight against the Wolves.
They're up 9 with a minute left.
So they're going to win that. Now, if Minnesota loses tomorrow night to the Heat, then the Blazers would pass them. And if Utah loses to Brooklyn in Brooklyn tomorrow, the Blazers would pass them. So, I mean, then the race really starts. It's only 22 games in. But I tell you, this is going to – you look at Golden State. Now, Denver, you think, well, Denver's right in with everybody else. They're 13 and 12. They've played 18 road games. How many do you think Oklahoma City has played?
Because there's no NFL team in their market, probably not many.
Eight. They've played 8 road games. So
that has a lot to do with it.
Oh.
Because when the NBA teams put in the request for home and road dates,
yes,
you notice that the teams that don't have NFL teams in their market load up on home games. Their Lakers are one of them. They always do.
Yeah.
You know, and for some teams like Portland and Oklahoma City, it doesn't really matter. So you go on the road early.
Yeah. And so Denver's saying, we have 10 more home games than Oklahoma City. So we could, you know, if they're not playing real well in a stretch and they have a 6-game road trip coming up, then, you know, things could change overnight. So it's you have to look at that schedule. Lakers are the same way. They started this road trip. Luckily, they've won 2 in a row now. Otherwise, they would really be falling behind everybody else. But they're pinning all their hopes on Steve Nash coming back. So there's going to be so many factors and injuries.
Well, that's
will play the biggest part of all. And, you know, the Blazers last night, the win, and you're feeling so good about, you know, the okay, we're one game behind 500. We'd win the next two. We're one game over. And then LaMarcus twists his ankle. Wes couldn't only play 3 minutes. So now you're in that bugaboo. And more than any other team in the NBA, the Blazers could be hurt worse than anybody with injuries.
Well, and we talked about, you know, when the season started, and everybody talked about how dependent they are on the 5 starters. And we mentioned, you know, what is it going to be like when the injury bug starts to bite? And certainly right after we talk about it, it does. You know, oddly enough, they're 3-0 without Wesley Matthews. Wesley played, as you said, he started the game last night, hit a 3, and then the hip didn't feel right. LaMarcus Aldridge, x-rays negative. It looks like just a sprain at this point, which is good news. I talked to him in the locker room after the game last night, said it was sore, but it certainly didn't look to be, you know, hugely swollen, which they can get. The good news is he has a few days off, as Portland doesn't play again until Thursday. Nick Batum, clearly the back is feeling better. Damian Lillard, who's had a bit of a gimpy ankle, he said he's feeling fine. But to see Aldridge go down and roll that left ankle after stepping on Ryan Anderson's left foot, it was certainly a little scary. And as you mentioned, you see 30 seconds left in the ball game when that happened. And that makes the Lillard shot that much more important because you didn't want to go to overtime without LaMarcus Aldridge, even though Portland 4-0 to this point in overtime games. In fact, 3 of their 4 road wins have come in overtime, which is good.
But always
shows you could have lost those games.
With L.A. playing.
Yeah, of course, of course. And we'll see when Thursday comes if LaMarcus Aldridge is able to go. Damian Lillard is coming up next. He'll join us, talk about not only last night's shot, but, you know, the thing you forget about Lillard, he's only played 23 NBA games in his career. Seems like he's been around forever. We'll talk about what he's learned so far, maybe even how he grades himself to this point. And Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, continues. And welcome back, Trailblazers courtside. Chilly and rainy outside, and maybe a little snow from what I understand. I don't think it much. It's not supposed to get that cold, but they're saying it could be a little.
Well, there'll be a weather special on for 30 minutes tonight.
Well, yes, absolutely, there will be. It's winter weather. Oh, it's snowing in the studio now, oddly enough. as the Trailblazers getting set to take on Denver on Thursday night. Anthony Davis versus Damian Lillard, and Damian's going to join us momentarily. That was how last night was billed, and we had a part in that, too. You know, that was everybody was talking about.
Sure.
Now that you've seen Davis, what are your thoughts?
You know, if they surround him with better people, he'll be a lot better.
And barbells.
Yeah. He needs to get to the weight room. There's no doubt about that. He's so skilled. He's never had to really go against strong people, and he's going to, you know, get that night in and night out. Since they don't have a big, strong center to go with them, he's going to be doing a lot of that. They're going to, you know, go with that small lineup.
They play an unorthodox style.
Yeah, and you heard Monty Williams last night. My big guys weren't giving it to me. I had to go to guys that really wanted to play, and what he was trying to do was – take the attention away from his last second shot that he thought the rules said, well, you got to have at least 4/10 to get a shot off.
And we'll get into that a little later on. I want to spend a few minutes on that because we had a situation in Washington on that road trip where there was 0.2 left. And so the next game I talked to a couple of the officials during the warm-up and got their read on that rule. And then it came into play last night. Anyway, to make a long story short, and we'll get into it later, it's a situation-by-situation thing. And 0.2 left, it's got to be a tip. But 0.3 and above, you know, I don't know. And, you know, as it turned out, New Orleans just, you know, kind of threw it away and went for the two. But as we'll show you later on, I'm not sure why they didn't do what they did going for two.
An NBA game is never over. Monty said, and, you know, I don't know what he was thinking about. He said, well, we were practicing for the future. For the future. That's what practice is for. When there's no game going on, you practice your last second shot. And
what brought the heat on Monty, perhaps, if there was heat here, is that they made the shot and it counted because it was a catch and shoot. You know, it wasn't a catch and then elevate and shoot, as we talked about in the postgame show, but it wasn't a tip at the rim.
Yeah.
And the way we replayed it last night, and you just saw it for those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet, you know, there's no reason why they couldn't have done what they did there from three and not two and actually have a legit shot. So it was interesting.
They kind of changed the rule because 0.03, you're not quite sure if it's closer to 0.04.
0.3 and 0.4.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's why they changed it, and it goes by each individual situation. And then they go and review it. They reviewed that shot last night, and it was good.
Yep.
You know, the guy, he actually came down with it and then shot it right
away.
And
that was my point, is because he caught it and released it, you could have done that from three-point land because they obviously scored it from two, and that maybe brought a little more heat on Monty. Like I said, if he doesn't make the shot or they don't even get a shot off, maybe it's not even an issue. But now it is because they make the shot from two, which, you know, anyway, led to the notion that they could have done that from three.
And Damian Lillard, I'm sure, will get Monty Williams' vote for Rookie of the Year after making that basket.
And it wasn't even – yes, it was a huge moment. But Damian was just 2-for-8 in the second half. His first field goal came in the early part of the third quarter. He hit a three, and then he hit a three to win it. But from what we've seen from Damian, and I heard the TNT guys talking the other night, I think it was Kenny Smith who – and they clearly have not seen much of Lillard.
No.
Late games, I understand that. But he said something about not being, you know, mentioned in the same breath with the Tony Parkers, and I get that right now. But then he said, well, he just has to get some consistency to his game. And that I had a problem with because he has been.
Yeah.
If it's been one thing he's been consistent.
Yes.
I mean, solid in his numbers. I think he's been, held under double-figure scoring in one game, two games?
And, you know, the game plan for the opposition – changed about the fifth game of the year when he comes off a double team. Now he comes off a pick and roll. I mean, they're squeezing him, they're trying to take the ball out of his hands, they're doing everything because he's part of the defensive game plan of the opposition all the time now. So he's like a Tony Parker when it comes to the other team. You notice they came out on him and he just made a shot. He made a Brandon Roy right there.
So is he then, and I saw Dwight James kind of threw this out to people earlier today on Twitter, and he wrote a little piece on it as well, is Damian now the closer?
No, I don't think you can anoint him the closer. because you have other options. I think it all depends on how much time is on the clock and how you're going to play that. With less time on the clock, I think he is the closer, because it takes too much time to get it to L.A. or run that corner pick down for Nicola. But if there's 4 or 5 seconds, yes, he is the closer.
All right, we'll take a break now and hopefully have Damian on next segment. We are busily tracking him down, and hopefully I'll have that done for you during the next segment. Let's break now, then we can go a little longer with Damian once we get him. Rick Bucher still to come as well, 6:35. We'll talk about his list that he put together informally, talking to coaches, assistant coaches, scouts, and they, of course, have Lillard number one, but we'll find out the rest of their list when Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, continues. Continue on Trailblazers Courtside. It's a Christmas edition. Is this the last Trailblazers Courtside before Christmas?
Yes.
I believe that it is.
It is, yes.
January 8th is the next show?
Yes.
And that'll be Wheels.
We're on the road.
All right. We go to New York on the 30th.
Yes.
And then we were going to go on the 31st, but that's New Year's Eve. And, of course, nothing's going on in Manhattan on New Year's Eve.
Right.
So they said there's no way you can
take you 11 hours to get from the airport to your hotel.
Kind of like it did the other when we played in Brooklyn a few weeks ago and had to then go back through lower Manhattan to the Holland Tunnel and then get out to Newark. And anyway, we'll be coming the other way this time and taking on the Knicks on New Year's Day. And that'll kick off a 4-game road trip, which will seem like a weekend stop after that 7-game trip, which the Trailblazers have already gone through. Waiting on Damian Lillard. Hopefully we'll have him soon. Rick Bucher will join us bottom of the hour to talk about his picks for rookies of the year, among other things. And one thing I want to ask Rick about, you know, when you talk about you were listing off teams in the West. How about Golden State?
Yeah.
Speaking of tough schedules, too, Golden State has played 15 road, 9 home.
Right.
They're 10-5 on the road. They had that great road trip. And they're now 16-8 on the season. Can they keep this up? They haven't even gotten Bogut back in the lineup yet.
Yeah, they've played 9 home games.
Shouldn't say back in the lineup, in the lineup at all.
And you know, Golden, they're 6-3 at home. And they've always been a very good home team. And that crowd now, they're as you said, they're 10-5 on the road. That's the main thing you look at for a team early in the season. How many times have they played at home? For instance, Utah. If you look at Utah, they're 4-10 on the road, 4-10, and they're 9-2 at home. So they're a team like the Blazers that are having big-time trouble on the road. And until you establish yourself, whereas Golden State is the opposite. They've established themselves on the road. They believe they can win on the road. So, you know, they're almost like Denver. They're in the best position of any of the Western teams, Denver and Golden State, as far as, you know, winning big-time games. Tonight is a big game for San Antonio. They're playing in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City's beating them by about six points now. And so that's a big game to establish San Antonio. They know they can win on the road. But Oklahoma City, if they're going to maintain that leadership in the West, they're going to have to win games like this.
I mentioned this last night on the broadcast, and we didn't have time to get into it a lot during the game, but Wesley Matthews out, obviously. Played 3 minutes last night, but he's missed the better part of 3 games. Well, and almost, you could say almost 4 when the injury happened to his hip. And he's expected to be back on Thursday. Is it almost – could you argue that it's been a positive – well, it's obviously been a positive they've won without him, but a good thing for Coach Stotts and for some of the role players that he has been out, because it has forced the Blazer bench and maybe some more creativity on the part of the coaches as far as the rotation goes to find guys to fill in. And we've seen Luke Babbitt play well. You know, Luke, going back to the Charlotte game, has been playing crunch time minutes, and he did again last night, set the pick for Lillard on the shot. Claver has played well, has shown a nice basketball IQ. Sasha Pavlovich has played well. You know, so in a way, is it a good thing?
It is, especially when you're coming up against Denver this next ball game. Denver's the most difficult team to defend if you're a bad defensive team. And the Blazers, we wouldn't say is an excellent defensive team. Right now, they're having their big problems, giving up 47%, giving up 44 points in the paint. This is the number one team in the NBA at getting to the foul line and dribble. Here's what George Karl's philosophy is, and it just goes, if you, and we're going to ask Lillard about this tonight. He said, we make the other team's point guard play fast, faster than they want to play. That's just goes right into our offensive game plan. Once they start playing fast, they take fast shots, we run on them, then we start our dribble penetration, we get to the rim. They scored 54 points in the paint last night against Sacramento. And why? Because they made Sacramento, you know, Sacramento, they'll throw it up in a heartbeat anyway. You know, they're going to
be one of them. Will.
Yeah, and they shot 32%. They get beat by almost 30 in Sacramento by Denver because George Karl made them uncomfortable. Now, they'll try to do the same thing to Lillard. They're going to try to make him play fast, get after it, overplay on the wings, do anything to make the Blazers go one-on-one, shoot the ball, and get into a running match with Denver.
And he'll go up against a fast guard in Ty Lawson, maybe one of the fastest. But he's been surprisingly strong against quick point guards. We've been watching him against different, you know, physical guards like Deron Williams on the trip, and then speedy guards like Tony Parker. And it seems like Damian has almost played better against the smaller, quicker guards. And that was going to be, we thought, a big test for him.
And the fact is, Damon, you know, Lillard, I look at him and I see, you know, Denver's 11-2 when they hold people under 100. So you want to score against them, but at the same time, you want to score in your rhythm. You know, you want to get your guys in a type of game where you can score a lot of points, but at the same time, you're not taking bad shots. And that's Lillard. Normally, a rookie point guard won't get you good shots. But so far, he's been able to control it, especially at home. So I'll tell you, this is a big game for the Blazers Thursday.
And illustrating your point about the pressure it puts on the offense because you're not playing great defense, Portland is, and this is a pretty elementary kind of a stat, but they are now 9-1 when they shoot over 45%, 2-11 when they're under. So you put everything, all your eggs in the basket, you're not going to win ugly. You're going to have to play a pretty offensive game to win, and that's just the end of the story.
Exactly, and that is an important stat. It might not be for a lot of teams that play defense, you know, and can win an ugly game, like you said. But the Blazers are having trouble stopping people in the paint, stopping field goal percentage, you know. So until they get that down, until they – and it is coming down. Now, it was up to 49%. It's now – you know, just edging 46% they're giving up.
And they're giving up 100 points now, which is 24th, not 30th.
Right, and it was 30th. So it is coming down. They're doing a better job. But they still – the guys that go into the game on the second unit still are thinking about helping out on the offensive end more than making stops on the defensive end. For instance, Myers Leonard. He should concentrate on two things and two things only.
Rebound and screen.
You got that right. Now, rebounding on the offensive end. Become a man under the offensive boards. Have people really afraid of you. Just go in there and bang offensively, block shots. That will help the points in the paint. If you block some shots, get some offensive rebounds, the offense will come later. You don't worry about offensive post moves now. That will come because you're willing to work on it. But do those other two things, and he won't, you know, he'll be in there like he wasn't last night. Because once again, he couldn't be in there because they had all small guys in there.
All right, we will take a break, and when we come back, we will be joined by Rick Bucher of CSN Bay Area. Talk about his take, and Rick used to be at ESPN, of course. Now he's with CSN Bay Area, and down there in Damian Lillard's near his hometown of Oakland, and talk about his the little informal poll he had of at the quarter poll of the NBA. Clearly, we're not – look at you on the front of the table. Clearly not too deep into the season, but Damian Lillard number one in almost everybody's ballot so far. We'll take a break, back with more after this. And welcome back, Trailblazers courtside. This is the holiday spirit. Santa Rice is in the house, of course. You changed your Twitter profile picture, by the way. Is this it?
Yeah, this is
one we just saw on the
screen. This is the Christmas profile picture at Mike Rice 6 and
Blazer MB. You should know that.
Sure. Yeah.
You're a little more active on Twitter than I am. Children
once
in
a while
way of my Twitter life.
Yeah, right.
So I'm happy to say, by the way.
Yeah.
Rich Patterson, give me an update. All right. Rick Bucher, you used to read and see on ESPN. Now you can read him on CSNBayArea.com as he is their NBA man down there. Rick, how you doing?
I am very well, gentlemen, but I have to say that if your update consists of me being on the line, we need to find some more breaking news.
Oh, no, this is it, man. You're our guy. You and Damian Lillard are our guests tonight. That's it's a big billing, the show tonight. The you know.
And if I'm not mistaken, Damian was the warm-up act. Is that correct?
That was the original plan. Now you are the warm-up act. This is live radio. We're working on that, but yes, thanks for pointing that out, and we're working on that as we speak. But Rick, I read you earlier today, and a nice piece on kind of an informal poll that you took of some assistant coaches and scouts about what they think of rookies so far here at the quarter poll in the NBA, and I think nobody surprised to see Damian's name atop the list. Are you surprised that maybe he's been, as you wrote, I think, in your article, has lapped the field so far in what he has done in, being the top rookie so far in the NBA?
Yeah, look, I expected that he would be in the conversation. Certainly Anthony Davis and what I saw with the Olympic team, and so much of it is just a matter of opportunity. I thought Bradley Beal would be in the mix, too, and obviously the injury to John Wall and now the broken hand with A.J. Price and just all the struggles, Nene being out. A lot of it has to do with, the circumstances that these guys find themselves in. That said, Damian has demonstrated that, regardless of what the circumstances are, the thing that has impressed everyone is that a little bit like, quite honestly, another guy that wore a Blazers uniform, Brandon Roy, a guy who just has the presence as a floor leader. Now, they're different type players. They play a different style. But from the minute that Damian took the floor, you just had a sense that this is a guy that is not fazed by where he is, and being a rookie is not going to prevent him from being the consummate floor leader. And that's what's put him ahead of everybody else, regardless of statistics or anything else. More than anything, it has to do with his, as one assistant coach I quoted in the piece, said, poise and pace. He's not, he does not shy away from the big moment. He's not overwhelmed by having to be the leader on the floor of an NBA team.
Is this a positive for somebody playing 4 years in college? Do you believe that has helped him, or do you think he would have been like this if he'd have come out his second year?
I honestly get the sense that with Damian, it's just part of his DNA. Now, does he come in with a little more polish as a result? And because he's not of overwhelming size at the point guard position. I will say that there's another guy that I've seen a lot of with the Golden State Warriors, Draymond Green, a second-round pick, who also spent 4 years in school at Michigan State. And that clearly has been his road to being a factor, is that he gained so much knowledge and experience and understanding of who he is at the college level. Damian, I'm sure it benefited him to have that, but I also have the feeling that it's part of who Damian is, that no matter when he would have come in, he would have walked in saying, hey, I can run this show.
If Eric Gordon comes back for New Orleans and Anthony Davis starts performing, can he catch Lillard with the Lillard big lead in the Rookie of the Year?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think that first impressions are big, and that I don't see Damian falling off.
Right.
Honestly, I expect that Anthony is going to assert himself in the race, but at this point, You know, the big question there is, and again, this is sort of the impact that I don't know that Eric Gordon is going to make the game. In some ways, he'll make it easier for Anthony Davis, but he doesn't have a bona fide point guard there. Same way Bradley Beal is suffering from that. I would expect that that's going to hold AD back from being able to overtake Damian. And the fact that Damian is the one in charge, let's put it this way. It's his to lose. He is going to be in control of how this race goes.
A couple of surprises on your list of, you know, this top seven we're talking about. Terrence Ross, of course, out of Portland, you know, he went eighth in the draft, which was a bit of a surprise, I thought.
Yeah.
Kyle Singler, who, you know, he was a pick in 2011, 33rd pick. Those two guys to be at 3 and 4 at this point, again, we're early, a quarter of the way in. That's kind of a surprise. Waiters, Barnes, Kidd Gilchrist, not a surprise there. You mentioned Beal, who wasn't on the list. Thomas Robinson, Austin Rivers, notables who didn't make the list either. But talk about Ross, what he's done in Toronto. Is they're back home now playing better, that they've played so many road games, it was tough for them. And Singler having an impact in Detroit. We saw them, and in fact, Portland lost to Detroit in Detroit, and Singler had a nice game.
Yeah, that you know, and the fact that they're both swing guys, they're playing in a position where if you play with energy and effort, and I, you know, the other element that I believe is going for them is that nobody saw this coming. So any contribution you make is going to be noted. They've been better than expected. And so, you know, Nicholson down in Orlando is a guy that wasn't mentioned by anybody. But that's where I see a lot of swing guys who are just making an impact that no one quite anticipated. And I will say, you know, the other part is that this to me is overall, it's a reflection of where the game has gone. It's become a drive and kick game. And so if you're a wing and you can handle the ball a little bit and you have the length and the speed to get to the rim and you can shoot a little bit from the perimeter, you're going to have the opportunity to put up some numbers and make an impact on the game. And so I just, you know, whether it's, I mean, you can go down the line. There's a number of guys there, even Harrison Barnes with Golden State again. Alexei Sved, who's in Minnesota, although he's played point, he's another one of those slasher-type guys that people didn't really know a whole lot about. And, again, because of the way the game has changed, those guys are getting an opportunity to make an impact on outcomes.
Now, your Golden State Warriors, they're not rookies, Curry and Klay Thompson. Are they for real? I know 10-5 on the road. That kind of looks like for real to me.
Yeah, well, look, it's not just those guys. It's the fact that this team collectively is willing to play together and that they have something to prove, and they realize it's a combination of we think we're good, but we also know that we're not very good unless we take advantage of all the things that we have. And so the one thing that Klay and Steph provide, and I've had a chance to talk to a number of opposing coaches, is that they feel like they've played good defense against these guys. And their perimeter shooting is such, and they're so confident in their stroke that what you would normally consider a bad shot, which is like a contested three or a long two, these guys make with impunity. And especially Steph at this point, I mean, he takes shots where I don't know if we have a stat. I'm sure we have a stat on everything these days. The amount of time on his catch and shoots that the ball is in his hands, it has to be like 0.1, 0.2, and it's nothing but net. That to me, of all the things that he's done, how quickly he can catch and get a shot up and make it look like he's squared up, he checked the wind and the temperature and then let go, that's what's really been impressive about what he's done as far as shooting this season.
Rick, we enjoy reading you as always and follow you on Twitter as well, so we'll hook back up with you soon. Your ESPN days, you know, they wouldn't let you guys come on Comcast Sportsnet up here. So now that you're in the family, we can have you on more.
Yeah, they actually wouldn't let me do a lot of things. I am breathing deeper these days than ever before, and enjoying it. And I get to coach my son's CYO basketball
there you go.
Team on top of it all. So
there you go. And we'll see
I'm
you.
Not complaining.
We'll see you on our next trip to Golden State, Rick. Thanks very much.
You got it.
All right, Rick Bucher of CSN Bay Area does great work. Follow him on Twitter and read his stuff on that website. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power. Damian Lillard will join us in our next segment, We Understand. Martin on video graphics, John McConnell, Corey Griffin on audio, Buck and Curry in here running cameras. Bruce Williams is always the engineer, and Bruce keeps this whole place together. Justin Multer, the online coordinator, and, of course, the captain, Rich Patterson. You know we have a high-def camera for the captain, Rich Patterson? Now look at him. That's Adam Bjarnson. Where's Rich? This place is going down in flames. Throw him out.
Yeah, no wonder we don't sound good tonight.
Bjarnson was going to the Blazer Booster Club Christmas party, by the way.
Oh.
Which I told them that we had to work, but to send along our very best.
Right.
And so anyway, that is what is going on. And you mentioned earlier that Minnesota, they ended up losing tonight. Just to update you, Oklahoma City's having their way with San Antonio right now, which is saying a lot. Memphis is beating Chicago by 10. Clippers are leading in Detroit. Denver, they played yesterday. They'll be here on Thursday night to take on the Trailblazers. As you mentioned, that'll be the next stiff test awaiting the Trailblazers because Denver – gotten off to a bit of a slow start this season and has maybe, been underwhelming at times, but they appear to be getting right now.
You know, and I watched them their last two ball games, and a guy that's former Blazer, who am I talking
Andre
about?
Miller.
Andre Miller. He's close to 15,000 points. He's only about 60 points away from 15,000. He's number 10. All-time in NBA history in assist. He has 7,600 assists. Mm. Only 8 players in the history of the NBA have been able to accomplish that. Now, you would never even mention Hall of Fame for a guy like that, but yet
sure.
His numbers are – it's like the baseball player that plays for 20 years and is the most consistent guy in the world, but he never has that outstanding – do you know that Andre Miller has never made an All-Star game?
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
I always think of him like – and this is going to be a wild comparison, but like a Dave Craig.
Yeah.
Quarterback in the NFL, who you look at his numbers and they knock you on your feet, off your feet. And yet, like as you said, never considered maybe even elite, but belongs there, belongs in the category. And you look at his numbers at the end of the day and you'll see the Hall of Fame type numbers.
Yeah, and it's just, it's amazing. And the other day when he got in with Aaron Brooks and him really went after it, you know, there's no one that cares about winning more than Andre Miller. And George Karl said, we played the other day, San Antonio, we played Oklahoma City. At the end of the game, he's the guy we're posting up against Tony Parker. He's the guy that, you know, goes in and does the dirty work. He'll do whatever it takes, and he'll pull our big guys aside, McGee, and tell him what he's doing wrong. So,
all right, so then you go from that former Trailblazer point guard to the one that followed him in Ray Felton, who's been terrific in New York.
Yeah.
Tonight evidently was not. But can he keep this up? Can the Knicks keep this up?
You know,
Felton in particular.
Yeah. Felton can't without Carmelo Anthony. You know, now it comes on to Raymond Felton, and Carmelo Anthony didn't play today. They need him. And when Amari Stoudemire comes back, he's going to come back maybe in the next game, the next New York Knicks game. You know, they're going to have to decide. They've been successful, and it all comes down to positions. We were going to talk about, if we had more time tonight, if Nicholas Batum, should he be a point forward like Scottie Pippen? He had 10 assists last night. He's not any longer waving in the corner. I'm here.
How about we're late in the show? We haven't even talked about Nick's line from last night.
Yeah.
Which we kind of gushed about when it started popping off the screen. 11 points, 5 blocks, 5 steals, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. It was crazy.
Oh,
you just don't see that.
No one has
first Blazer in history to do.
Yeah, no one has skills to do something like that. So when a guy has skills enough to get 10 assists, then you might say, hey, let's make him a point forward. Let's put the burden on the other team to stop a guy like this. Let's
cause all kinds of matchup.
Oh, and put Damian Lillard over on the two once in a while. You know,
which we're seeing anyway, but yeah. We're seeing it with Price on the floor.
Yeah, and it just doesn't.
Or Nolan Smith.
Yeah, whereas Nicholas, no one can check him on the pick and roll. He's coming off. He's big enough. He could glide to the basket. He can see over people to hit a Damian Lillard in the corner. So I think Terry Stotts will look at this. He'll look at that tremendous statistical night last night and say, let's do more with him. And they are doing more with him. You know, he was a guy that he told us all along, I can do more to help us win. And now we saw it last night.
And, you know, we mentioned this. We've mentioned it a lot. But there, you look around, and I mentioned Ty Lawson, too. There's a guy that has taken some criticism because he signed a huge deal in the offseason and really hasn't played up to it yet. Maybe the pressure has gotten to him. All these questions have been asked. We haven't hardly mentioned that at all about Nick. And that was the talk over the summer. How will he handle the pressure of having the huge contract and then having to play up to it? It hasn't even been a topic. And I know we're through 23 games, but people wanted consistency. You're getting it. They wanted some different things. You're getting that. You wanted Nick in some different places on the floor. You're getting that.
And some unrealistic people are saying, you know, well, is he really consistent? Is he giving us 20 and 10? And what he's consistent at is defending. For instance, in the San Antonio game, he defended down at the end. When we needed him to stop Tony Parker, he was on Tony Parker. When Ginobili got hot, by the way, Ginobili didn't play tonight. Once again, another injury. It just seems anytime they get going, San Antonio, they get an injury to Ginobili. But, you know, he checked Ginobili. So he's a guy that's playing 40 minutes a game, defending the best perimeter player on the other team, and now taking on the responsibilities. You can only do as much as they hand you. And right now they're saying, let's give him more responsibility, and I think he can handle it.
And played 42 minutes last night with a back that is still really bothering him.
Right.
And thankfully he has until Thursday to heal up, as do Wesley Matthews and LaMarcus Aldridge. Take a break, back with our final segment of Trailblazers Courtside, which as always is presented by Pacific Power. There you go, Jamarcus. You ask, you receive. Merry Christmas to you and your pals. They were down the other night after a ball game, and there's lots of fans that come down after games. And
sure.
Tweeted that in and said, please put this on courtside. There you go. See, we're givers.
That's right.
That's what we are. I like the new backdrop, by the way, on this set.
Yeah.
We changed kind of the look of the set, like right over your shoulder there.
Yeah.
And, earlier tonight. Is that your new your Twitter avatar?
Yes.
Is that what they say? Or profile picture?
Yeah.
In layman's terms. All right, Portland gets the victory.
And I should mention.
Yes, please.
We mentioned early in the show, Steve Nash will be back Saturday for the Lakers.
All right.
And so it'll be now they can quit whining that, oh, we'll do so much better when Steve's back. Now we'll see.
Will they?
Yes. Yes. I really think they're ready to accept his leadership. They weren't early in the year. Now they know they need what he does on the offensive end. Now, defensively, I don't think they'll ever be good, but I think they can outscore a lot of people with that team.
A question that's been asked a million times in the last few weeks, is it just a bad fit? Is D'Antoni a bad fit with that team?
No, I really don't think so. I think the personnel is a bad fit no matter what system you're in. They're trying to find what Gasol, where he fits into this. He's not a stretch four, and D'Antoni's system always needs a guy like Ryan Ken Anderson last night. Yeah. Oh, he would. They should trade for Gasol, but I don't think they'd do that. New Orleans.
You don't.
No.
Gasol for Ryan Anderson? Are you kidding me? They'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I guess they would.
I like Ryan Anderson.
Yeah.
But that's Pau Gasol you're talking about.
Right.
And that was a deal that, by the way, was that was rumored, not the Anderson part of it, but Gasol there when Chris Paul was still there. Blazers in Denver coming up on Thursday, and Portland trying to get another victory. Odd homestand, hasn't it been, as far as Portland starting the homestand with a blowout loss to Sacramento at home, and then they lose Matthews, and all of a sudden now they've won three straight, and Denver up next, a team that is playing very, very well. Will Matthews play? Will Aldridge play? Will Batum's back be enough better that he can be 100%? We will find out Thursday, and that game will be on Channel 8, by the way, but back here on Comcast SportsNet with another edition of Trailblazers Courtside very soon. Thanks for watching. Good night.